In this first part of July, I'm going to be going to the Philippines to celebrate the wedding of a nephew of mine and his fiancée. Now, to preside at that wedding, why couldn't I just, you know, the Philippines is a long way off. I mean, why couldn't I just say over the phone, do the wedding vows over the phone? Could I have just told my nephew, hey, Justin, you know, when the time for the wedding comes, when the vows come, just put me on speakerphone, you know, put a mic next to it, and I'll guide you through the ceremony from right here in Jackson, Michigan. Don't worry, it'll have the same effect. We can even FaceTime each other. Just have the server over there, you know, hold up your iPhone so we can actually see each other. Just think of all the money and time we'll save. How's that gonna go over, right? It would be ridiculous, of course, because there's something about being present in the flesh that makes all the difference in the world. That's why we go to great lengths, even traveling halfway across the world, not just to email and call our loved ones, but to regularly visit them in the flesh. To be present in the flesh makes all the difference in the world. To be present in flesh and blood makes all the difference in the world. What do we celebrate today? Corpus Christi, the solemnity in which we particularly remember that Jesus makes himself bodily present in flesh and blood to every Christian community on the face of the earth. Just two weekends ago, we celebrated what? We've had a string of solemnities here, right? But two weekends ago was Pentecost. Yes, when we remember the very Spirit of God entering our very beings. If the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is God himself, then why isn't receiving him in that spiritual way good enough? Why do we even need this feast of the body and blood of Jesus? Because something about being present in flesh and blood makes all the difference in the world. It's not that the Holy Spirit is deficient in any way. I mean, the Holy Spirit is God just as much as the Father and the Son are God. They are three co-equal persons. The Holy Spirit sets us on fire, as some of you experienced even this past Pentecost. He sets our hearts ablaze. It would be impossible to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. But because you and I are not just spiritual beings, but persons with a soul and a body, matter matters to us. The physical and material realm matters to us. That's why we use the smells and the bells at Holy Mass. We get to know things better when we experience them physically and materially. As human beings made up of soul and body, does God coming to us not only spiritually but also bodily help us or hurt us in getting to know God better? Of course, it helps us. So in Jesus, God comes to us in the flesh. In Jesus, God shows us his face. He makes visible the invisible God. And because God is love, Jesus reveals to us concretely what love is. What God is for all eternity, Jesus makes visible to us in space and time. And by doing so, we come to know the eternal and inscrutable God. In Jesus Christ, that which is unknowable has made himself known. Can I get an ooh? And God wants us to not only get to know him, he wants to be intimate with us. In fact, he desires union with us. Can I get an ah? He achieves that with his Holy Spirit, yes, making each of us a temple of the Holy Spirit, but he also desires union with us bodily. He desires to become one body with us. He desires to become one body with you. The first reading asks us to offer God a tenth of everything we have, but what does God give us? 100% of himself. Not a bad deal. And so how does the Lord accomplish his plan and desire, not just for spiritual union, but bodily union with each and every one of us? Folks, it's what we're celebrating today, right? Corpus Christi. through the Eucharist, through the most holy body and blood of Christ, Jesus is able to do something that if limited to his one body, one earthly body 2,000 years ago, he would not be able to do. And that is to offer his body to be united to the bodies of each and every person who says, amen, I believe. So can I get an amen to that? Amen. In the Eucharist, we get to eat the very life of God. Hard to fathom? Listen to what Jesus himself said. The bread that I will give is my flesh for the life of the world. And they started to grumble, how can this guy give us his flesh to eat? That's ridiculous. And Jesus ramps it up. Amen, amen, I say to you. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Why? Because Jesus is the life. I am the way, the truth, and the... See, you know this. Well, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true... food. I thought you'd do this. For my flesh is true, and my blood is true. Yes. Friends, through the Corpus Christi, through the body and blood of Christ that we receive at every Mass, each of us becomes one body with Christ when we come up to that communion line. Do we tremble with awe and reverence at such a marvel? In what other holy sacrament do two people become one body? Marriage. So do you see why Christ refers himself as the bridegroom? And why the book of Revelation describes our eternal and ecstatic union with God as the marriage feast of the Lamb? In this great Eucharistic mystery of Corpus Christi, Jesus descends from eternity to become one body with his bride, the church, so that at the consummation of time, by virtue of being united in one body with him, we may ascend into that eternal exchange of love that is God. That is why we call the Eucharist the source and summit of our faith. This is my body given for you. Jesus desires union with you. We were talking about this three stages of spiritual life, right? The purgative, the illuminative, and the unitive. That ecstatic union that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, what God has prepared for those who love him. He desires union with you because, as the prophet Isaiah says, the Lord delights in you. He delights in you. Sometimes we don't believe that about ourselves because of our own experiences with authority or negative. We see abuses of power not only in the world, but even in the leaders of our church and even in our own families at times. And those create wounds that the enemy uses to warp the view of how we see God and how we think God sees us. And we project these fallen notions of power and authority to God. We project them to God, and then we project these other fallen human notions of who we are to ourselves and how we view ourselves. In the order of this fallen world in which we live, I mean, we notice it, you know, we notice these little fish. What happens in the order of the fallen world? The big fish eat the little fish. And so if we're the little fish, our reaction to these abuses of power is to put our shields up, our defenses up to protect ourselves. We may even put our fists up. But remember that Jesus is the definitive revelation of who God is, Almighty God. He shows us the true face of Almighty God. You think God wants to enslave you? Jesus says, I'll let you enslave me. You think God wants to scourge our backs? I'll let you scourge mine. You think I've come to take rather than to give? Let me give you my very body. Remember, one of the symbols of a Christian in the early church for Jesus was what? We see it in the back of cars sometimes, a fish, right? The ichthus symbol. So Almighty God, the biggest fish of them all, the only fish, really, when it comes down to it, he doesn't come to eat us all of us little fish. In his omnipotent power in the Eucharist, the big fish has made himself little so that we can eat him. In the Eucharist, we eat God. We are the ones who consume him and are thereby nourished by his divine life. So on this Feast of Corpus Christi, I encourage you not to put up your fists towards God, but to give him the same response he gave us. Right? His open arms exposing his sacred heart of love for us. The response we see on that cross, the response of openness, even when we have betrayed him. And when he first appeared to his disciples, they were afraid, right? Oh my gosh, we totally betrayed him. But what does Jesus do? What did Jesus tell them? You better be afraid because I'm the big fish. No. Shalom. Three times he said that. Peace. Yeah. And do not be afraid. It is I. Brothers and sisters, on this year's Feast of Corpus Christi, allow God to reveal himself to you in his offering of his body and blood. To reveal his true nature, not what we project upon him because of our past. He wants to heal that past. That's why we encourage everyone to spend an hour of personal Eucharistic adoration with him in our adoration chapel. That's the whole reason why that adoration chapel exists. For our healing, to be able to spend time with him physically, not just sending texts to God, spiritually speaking, right? When we, in fact, this week we have in our bulletin a form that you can sign up for a specific hour, an hour each week to be physically present with Jesus for some healing time with the divine physician. Use that time and use this time right now at Holy Mass to allow the Eucharist to heal any hardness we have toward God and our fellow man, so that we too can turn to our neighbor and mean it from our heart. Shalom. Peace. Do not be afraid.